This episode of Where Did the Road Go is brought to you in part by our Patreons. If you want to become a patron, go to wheredidtheroadgo.com. And now our show.
Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
Welcome to this edition of Where Did the Road Go? This is kind of a extra show that I'm throwing in here due to this New York Times article about that so many people are thinking is absolute disclosure. And I'm starting this with Joshua Cutchin, and I'm going to be talking to Greg Bishop as well, and then releasing this tonight. How you doing, Josh?
Doing all right. How are you, sir?
So after we recorded this weekend show, this Mike posted this to our Slack group, and then I've seen mention of it. It's trending on Facebook. And a lot of people seem to think that this article in the New York Times amounts to disclosure. And first of all, I'd like to say that this show is almost 5 years old. And in that five-year time period, I've stated many times that the government is still researching UFOs, and they probably don't know much more than we do, but they probably have more data. And that's essentially what this article says. What are your thoughts on it?
For me, it was sort of a non. The story has failed to spark interest with me, I guess, and it's not just because of my own personal views on the subject, but to me, it was one of those things that I saw it and was like, "Well, yeah." And you know, if you've been paying any sort of attention, the government has had interest in UFOs and, you know, anomalous phenomena in a long time, regardless of, even if there is literally nothing to UFOs and nothing to psi effects, even if those are demonstrably, objectively false, the government still has expressed a huge interest in these topics. I suppose that it's significant in the fact that for, you know, all the normies out there, the people who aren't, you know, weirdos like us following this stuff, this seems like it's the first time that news like this has been told with a straight face. And having, you know, the names of some of these senators like Harry Reid behind it, it really does sort of validate it. I've read some conflicting ideas that these are sort of, this is less about disclosure of extraterrestrial life and more about disclosure of a soft disclosure of a secret space program is one of the opinions that I saw, which I think is pretty interesting.
But I think people are really reading a lot into that to get that out of it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that my takeaway in looking at it that way is that there is some sort of ulterior motive to the timing of this release, and that I don't know exactly what it means. It's interesting to me. I don't really know what this means either, but it's interesting to me that this announcement has come so relatively close on the heels of Tom DeLonge's announcement, because this is what it almost seems to me like. I don't know. It almost seems to me like this is preempting some sort of announcement from the, you know, to the STARS Academy of Arts and Sciences camp is sort of the way it feels. I don't know to what end. And I'm sure Greg will probably have some more nuanced thoughts on that, but the timing, I mean, this is the sort of reveal that the DeLonge conference should have been, the sort of announcement that should have been, and the sort of results that he's been promising. And it's coming from, you know, a completely separate direction than that. So I'm not sure which of the two hands is the we're not supposed to be watching, you know, which of the two hands is a diversion. But it kind of makes me feel like either there's opposing factions trying to release things at the same time, or one of these things we should be watching more closely than the other.
Well, it's also, I mean, when you really break it down, what it is that Ted Stevens, Daniel Inouye, I don't know, the Hawaiian Democrat that supported the program, and Harry Reid earmarked money basically to go to Bigelow. That's essentially what it says. And we've known Bigelow's been into this stuff, and why he needs more money to research it than what he already has is kind of ridiculous.
Why he needs our money to do it.
yeah. But that's essentially what it is. This is not like a White House press conference where they're saying, hey, we're being visited by something we don't understand or whatever. And they release these videos of these jets, you know, chasing unknown objects. We know this has happened for years. This is not new. Like you said, the big thing is they're not ridiculing it. They had a quote from Sarah Seeger, who's an astrophysicist at MIT, saying, when people claim to observe truly unusual phenomena, sometimes it's worth investigating seriously. Then she added, what people sometimes don't get about science is that we often have phenomena that remain unexplained. And she said that not knowing the origin of an object does not mean that it's from another planet or galaxy. And that's, I think, what a lot of people are reading into it, that, you know, hey, they're saying there's extraterrestrials here, and this is full disclosure, and it's not. It's saying, hey, some of our money went to Robert Bigelow and his UFO, you know, research.
Yeah, and like you said, that's something that, like, a lot of this has been old news if you've been paying attention. I mean, for the past, we've known about the whole Bigelow thing for so long, and I think the information in this particular release was alluded to in a Bigelow interview from about a year ago. So I feel like we talk about pareidolia in anomalous subjects as people like seeing Sasquatch where there isn't, or seeing some sort of light phenomena in the sky, saying that it's not really a UFO, it's a flare or whatever. Anyway, we talk about pareidolia in paranormal evidence, but we don't talk about pareidolia in sort of what we want to, in what we want to see. Like, I think there's such a thing as a disclosure, pareidolia, you know?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, if that's what you're wanting to see, and if that's what you're anticipating, then,
To me, disclosure would be them coming out and saying, you know, giving us something definitive, rather than just saying, yeah, we've been researching this stuff. We lied to you. You know, we didn't stop researching. There's been groups researching it. We gave money to Bigelow to research it, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, the last paragraph says, for his part, Mr. Reed said that they don't know where the objects come from. If anyone says they have the answers now, they're fooling themselves, he said. We do not know.
Yeah. And
it's like, okay, so that's pretty much what I've been saying for the last 5 years, is that, you know, yeah, they're looking into this, and they probably don't know more than we do. They just have better, you know, they probably have more data.
Well, you know, it's you know, take out your highlighters class and highlight that portion five times.
And they talk about, and even in here, they talk about collecting, and Bigelow collecting, pieces that have been a part. Where does it say here? I don't want to get it wrong. Under Bigelow's direction, the company modified buildings, and program contractors said they had been recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena, metal alloys and other materials. Researchers also studied people who said they had experienced physical effects from encounters with the objects and examined them for psychological changes. Now, whether that is leading into the whole military abduction thing, or if that's volunteers, who knows? Because they don't go into detail there. But nor do they say, hey, we have space, you know, we have these ships that we don't know what to do with. They're saying they have storage of metal alloys and other materials they believe have been recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena. You know, it's very carefully worded.
Yeah. And I think that's deliberate and intentional as well. I mean, in a lot of ways, this is as deep as my thoughts go on this.
Yeah.
because I mean, it's predictable to me. It's been recently established. If you're paying attention, it's definitely something that you would have already intuited, or if not outright learned. And it all still amounts to a lot of sort of non-information that we all are completely aware of, you know? So
yeah.
I don't want to be snide or smug and say that it feels like non-news to me, but it just doesn't, it just doesn't seem to move anything forward in any real sort of way. It's not disclosure.
No.
I do think if there is a, you know, sort of a something that this represents, it represents, like we said, sort of the one of the first attempts to actually engage with this subject matter in a straight-faced way.
Yes, which is good. There's nothing wrong. You know, that's definitely a positive coming out of it.
Well, no, we need that. Yeah, I mean, please.
But if I look at this, what I learned from this article that I didn't know 3 days ago is that I know that there are three senators who earmarked money to go to Bigelow. You know, and we know who they are. Two of them are dead, and one's retired. So it's not even like they're senators in official positions now. And we don't know anything about the project now because the one guy who claimed to be the head of it, who's now part of the To the Stars Academy, says he quit. And he said, you know, they said they stopped funding it, but it's still there and he did have a successor. But that doesn't tell us anything about that or who's funding it from this point on, if it's just a Bigelow project or what. So we really didn't learn much more than a few names to connect to it. And as I said, two of them are dead and one's retired.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, regardless of where this story moves forward, you have to wonder, you know, whenever you are dealing with things like this that include governmental involvement in government interest in these sort of things, you've got to remember there is a true, you know, tip of the iceberg phenomena there. In other words, if you're being allowed to see this technology, well, not only is there, you know, more advanced technology underneath it, but they also had this, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. So if this information is allowed to get out and it seems as to some people as revelatory as it is, then imagine what you're not aware of.
Yes. Know? Yeah.
Imagine the other 9% of this, you know, this iceberg. But yeah, it's refreshing to see the taboo sort of being, you know, alleviating a bit.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. And that's, I think, the best we can hope for from this reveal.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Josh, and we're gonna
my pleasure.
We're gonna see what
I was able to hop on.
We're gonna see what Greg has to say about all of this.
Yeah, I'm interested to see his take on it.
All right, so now I am talking with Mr. Greg Bishop. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Sarai?
All right. So my general opinion, without repeating a lot of the stuff I said with Josh, is that this whole reveal doesn't really tell us anything. I don't feel like this is disclosure. I feel like this is, you know, in the heavy metal world, I would compare it to Rob Halford coming out as gay. You know, people were shocked. And I said, really? You were shocked? Like, you didn't know? And that's kind of how this feels. It's like, oh, so the government was giving Bigelow $22 million over a course of a few years to research UFOs. Yeah, okay. And, you know, I don't see what the big disclosure here is.
Yeah, I don't. Well, the thing is, it's not disclosure to us, you and I and people who listen to the show and all this. However, for other people that have been waiting for it and to a far, far lesser extent, most of the public who are going to forget this happened in a day.
Yeah.
It is kind of a big deal for them. Ultimately, for me, I'm just like you. I'm not sure how big of a deal it is. Except for the fact of the extraterrestrial tech or whatever they want to call it being stored somewhere. That was the weirdest part of the announcement for me.
Yes, but it doesn't say tech. It says like pieces of metal. Where is that exactly?
Yeah, it does say pieces of metal. And, you know, I don't think they're talking about Roswell. They're talking about other stuff that's been found in other places, supposedly.
But I mean, this is all Bigelow. So he's, you know, under Mr. Bigelow's direction, the company modified buildings in Las Vegas for the storage of metal alloys and other materials that Mr.
Elizondo,
and program contractors said had been recovered from unidentified aerial phenomena. That doesn't really say anything. You know, that's not saying we have a craft. That's not saying, you know, That could be slag, you know?
Yes. It could be all kinds of different things. It remains to be seen whether that's true or not. Well, the main thing, it's this really strange mindset you have to have. And I'm really relying on it now because I wasn't saying Tom DeLonge is full of crap. What I was doing at first, and it's kind of interesting, the first thing I noticed, I didn't mention DeLonge or to the Stars Academy in that article, or in the second one that had to do with the Navy pilots. The weird thing you have to do is suspend judgment on this stuff, which is why the first thing I said when somebody posted this on the Rodney Mysterioso page on Facebook, you know, kind of a look at this, what do you think of this? The first thing in my mind was, don't be very careful when somebody tells you exactly what you want to hear.
Yes.
And my second thing was, be careful not to read things into what somebody said that weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my attitude on it. I think Gene Steinberg was asking me a few weeks ago sometime after the To the Stars thing press conference happened. He said, "What do you think's going on, and what do you think of it?" And the basic thing I said was, and I kept saying to him, was, "I really don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give it. I don't know about legitimacy, but it seems to me like what they're trying to do, and I think Robbie Graham made this point at some point here, is that what they're trying to do is pull your attention away from everything else. It's like this giant magnet that just pulls all attention away from every other thing that's going on in the UFO field, because this is the most important thing right now." And just like a UFO sighting, I think that, you know, if I ever have one, Chris O'Brien made this point, and I totally agree with him. If I ever see a UFO, the first thing I'm going to do, if I can possibly do it, is tear my attention away and look behind me and look to the side, look everywhere but the thing that I should be looking at right at that minute, and see what happens. So my mindset right now is, sure, it's very interesting, but I'd like to see what's happening around it, below it, you know, how people are reacting. George Knapp very nicely wrote a blurb for my book, and I never even realized I did this. But he's what he said, I think, was something like that. He sees me as somebody that just kind of sits back in the shadows, and then every once in a while says something, and just kind of sits there and watches and listens. And that's how I prefer to do it this time. I'm really interested in it, but I'm also really interested in how people are reacting, what happens in the next few days. And just like anything in the UFO subject, whatever people's predisposition is, bam, that's how they're reacting. Mm-hmm. I hate having a predisposition, which is why I actively fight having a predisposition about how I feel about this. I feel about 100 things about it, and I, you know, some stronger than others. And I don't even know exactly what I'm feeling. But the main thing is, calm down, step back, listen, and don't get excited about it. That's my main thing.
It seems
to make any sense. Be interested, but don't be reactive and emotional.
When I read it the first time, I was very intrigued because Mike Hughes said, "Oh my God, this is actual disclosure." And I know I didn't actually read it initially because he sent that to me right as I was going to do my radio show, and so I didn't really have time. And I saw that Lavinda was posting about it, claiming, "Oh, here's disclosure. This is it," you know. And I said, "Okay, I really need to read this." And that was earlier today. And I sat down and read it, and I was just like, "That's it. This is what you're calling disclosure?" I mean, because I read it a few times in a row, just in case I missed anything. But to me, it didn't tell us anything we didn't know, except for the fact that we now know the name of 3 senators that earmarked a little bit of money out of the black budget to go to Bigelow.
Yeah, and 2 of them are dead.
Exactly. One's retired. So this isn't like an official, you know, it's not like the White House held a press conference and said, "Hey, UFOs are real and we don't know what they are." This is kind of like an after the fact of, yeah, we did this a few years ago.
Yeah, well, I guess the disclosure is Yeah, it's that the government is interested, and we know that they're interested. They have been. But yeah, you and I and most people listen to this show already knew that.
Yeah.
This is what the aviary was about. It just didn't have any funding.
Hmm.
You know, it was just a bunch of guys in the government, including some of the people that are involved in it now, like Hal Puthoff, that just said, look, we can't find anything out about this subject just by, you know, poking here and there. Let's get a group of people together who have different kinds of expertise, different positions in the government, different friends and connections, and see if we can use this network to find out what the hell's going on here. And after, what, 10 years or so, none of them really found out anything that, you know, that they didn't know already. So they just kind of said, well, I guess, you know, that's as far as we can take it. And whatever is known is going to be out of our grasp. So, you know, the main part of it, like you said, is, you know, yeah, we know that the government's interested. Yeah, we know there's a real phenomenon that's not, you know, that is not explainable with current whatever technology, whatever you want to call it. You and I and everybody that listens to this show know that. We're pretty sure, or at least pretty sure, that there's something going on that's not human. Past that, I don't say anything. It's like, I think we interact with something that's not us, but
right.
That's as far as I'm going to take it. I'm not going to say they're coming from other planets or anything like that. And however,
I'm not even fully convinced that they're not us on some level.
I'm not either. And that's the other thing, people. I've hung out with, strangely enough, Paul Davids, the Roswell writer producer, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and his reaction to it is, God, this is great. You know, it's disclosure, and you know, and mine was, I really don't know what to. I mean, I told him just what I told you. I really don't want to react to it in that way. I want to react to it and see what's going to happen, and not be emotional, and do my best to have a, you know, a zen-like attitude about it. Because it is exactly what people that want disclosure, or not exactly, but pretty close to what they've been yelling about and what they want. That bothers me. You know, it seems almost tailor-made for people that are on one frequency about what this thing might be, for them to become very excited, even more focused on that frequency.
Hmm.
I'd like to talk to Elizondo and these people, you know, behind the scenes, and say, look, I won't repeat anything, but what do you think is going on? What do you think is the source of this? And I think, you know, I've got a 90% or a higher thing they're going to say it's aliens from other planets. And I guess they know more than I do, but.
Well, that's what Bigelow has said.
I know, but when Bigelow said that, I was thinking, are you saying that because that's what you paid to have people find out for you? Are you saying that because those are the questions you asked? Because if you ask a question, your questions determine what your answer is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did he say, you know, I know it's aliens. Please go out and prove to me it's aliens. Okay, we did all this thing, and it looks like it's probably aliens. Great, it's aliens. I spent my money in the right place. Well, I hope it's not that simple, but I'm thinking that's a big part of it.
It's. And if you look at the last paragraph, says, for his part, Mr. Reed said he does not know where the objects have come from. If anyone says that they have the answers now, they're fooling themselves, he said. We do not know. And I'm thinking, well, that's a fairly different tack than, say, Tom DeLonge is saying that we know all this stuff about them and they're going to tell us everything.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know why he said that. I would really like to talk to Mr. Reed now after hearing that. I'm sure I can't get any interview with him, and you can't.
Right.
Almost nobody, you know, Whitley Strieber probably could. But, you know, and there's also this undercurrent that you can see of people that are in positions of power, are in positions of technologically advanced research, who do believe in the ETH and do believe that they can get something out of this that will give them an advantage over other companies, other countries, all this. And I think that's a real basic part. And they've said this too. I mean, To the Stars haven't made any secret about it. This is it's something they, you know, say that they that's what they're doing with this technology. Now, when they tell us that, I don't know how much truth there is to it. I think there may be some, but you also get the idea, and I've heard people talk about this too, is that there are certain circles of people that are doing things that have money that have completely different ideas about reality than we do. And true. And it seems to work for them.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. There was something else I was going to say about all this. The other thing is, could this be a cover up of what's literally a secret space program? Could this announcement be to, you know, dissuade people from thinking along those lines, and they'd rather have us believe there are UFOs and aliens than we have technology on this level?
Yeah, I think that may be part of it too. When somebody decides to move in this direction and say, look, you know, if they move in a direction where it's public and it's, and people are saying things that are on the record, I've got serious doubts that they mean exactly what they say, really, especially since, you know, what, the 75, whatever, percent of the people that are working for DeLong are all former intelligence.
Right.
And I'm, that's just the way I look at things. That's my blind spot, because on Project Beta, none of that stuff had anything to do with UFOs. It was just a little teensy tiny part of it. And all it was done, all the UFO stuff was done, was to misdirect people and keep them away from secrets and looking at UFOs and away from black projects and technology. And anybody that did get interested in it and started reporting UFOs that looked a certain way or were reported to be a certain way, they could trace them by the kind of rumors that were spread and who, you know, we start this rumor with this person. Okay, this person now says that this person comes out in this newsletter. Okay, we know who knows each other and where that information is going. And I think some of that still may be operative now. And just instead of involving, you know, two or three UFO researchers like Bill Moore and probably a couple other people he never wanted to name, which I'm sure had the same deal as he did, now it's a little more public. It's something that can be used as a template for planting other ideas and stories and all that, because people have a certain belief system about it now, or at least certain people, like you know, people in the UFO community. In 5 minutes, Alejandro Rojas is going to speak to George Knapp on Coast to Coast about this.
Okay. Well, you know, I also in the New York Times article, I also found it interesting that they did include a couple of people who were very skeptical. One being the astrophysicist. Let me see if I can find her quote. But she basically said, just because we don't know what it is doesn't mean it's extraterrestrial. And there are plenty of unknowns in science. It was a very good, well thought out statement, and now I can't find it.
Was the other one James Oberg?
I don't remember who the other one was. There was two. The other one was someone who said, I wish I could find it here. Because it's not a super long article.
No, it's not. I sped read it yesterday morning when it suddenly appeared on my news feed, and I went, what? So yeah, right when I woke up, because I'd been up working the night before. So I'm waking up at 10:30 in the morning, and I look at, you know, I like many people, I wake up and just go through my messages, and one of them was, hey, did you see this New York Times article? So that's what they've been talking about for the last few weeks. Yeah. It was hinted, I think, Grant Cameron, of all people, and George Knapp, and maybe somebody else, was saying the New York Times is working on an article that's kind of going to be a blockbuster. And I said, well, that remains to be seen. And yeah, it kind of is. You know, whatever you think about it, it's kind of an elephant in the room. You can't really not talk about it or not think about it or not think about what the impact is going to be. I think it'll change ufology for quite a while. As far as the greater society is concerned, no. People forget about it in a couple of days, especially if, like, you know, Trump fires Mueller next week or something.
Right.
And no, I didn't think it was a diversionary tactic so that other things going on in the government would be not noticed. That I don't think that has anything to do with it.
I don't think it's enough of a diversionary tactic.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it was Sarah Seeger, an astrophysicist at MIT, cautioned that not knowing the origin of an object does not mean it's from another planet or galaxy. When people claim to observe truly unusual phenomena, sometimes it's worth investigating seriously, she said. But she added, what people sometimes don't get about science is that we often have phenomena that remain unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm far more impressed. You know, they have that video of them chasing the craft, which, I mean, we've seen stuff like that before. It's not like that was a revolutionary video. That's nothing like that's ever been filmed before. It's more just that they're acknowledging it. And, you know, there was the UFO Hunters TV show, which I didn't think was particularly good. But one of the end of one of the episodes, they had shown infrared footage from a police helicopter, I think, in Florida. That had an object following them that was only showing up on infrared. And the thing was very strange looking. It was kind of morphing as it followed them. And I thought that was way more convincing than the video these people have released. You know, and that's, I mean, this stuff just, it's not, it's new to, like you said, it's new to people who don't follow this stuff. But for everyone else, it's kind of like, yeah, we've seen this before.
Yeah, I think that the difference they're trying to make is that this is something that's supposedly came from an official source and has some kind of sanction, and the government isn't saying there's nothing; it has nothing to do with us. But the thing is that because they want to tell? They said nothing about aliens coming from other planets. They didn't say that,
right?
No, and they just said that. So that's why I said about, you know, being very careful about extrapolating information from something that. To conform to your expectations of what it should be and not actually what was said. And of course, people are saying, well, of course they wouldn't come right out and say it. It's like, what do you mean they wouldn't come? They didn't come right out and say something. They just didn't say aliens are coming to visit us from other planets and we better watch out. They didn't say that.
Right, right. And it was James Oberg was the other person they quoted.
Right.
Who said that there are plenty of prosaic events and human perceptual traits that can account for these stories. Lots of people are active in the air and don't want others to know about it. They are happy to lurk unrecognized in the noise or even stir up as camouflage. He did say that he welcomed the research and there could well be a pearl in there. And I mean, that's not exactly a ringing example of someone saying, oh, look what they just revealed to us. It's, you know, he's kind of saying the same thing. It's not really anything.
Yeah, well, Oberg would always say it's not really anything. True. Because he is a dyed-in-the-wool, I would say, fundamentalist skeptic, meaning but, it can't be, therefore it is not, and he wouldn't accept anything even if it slapped him in the face, but, you know, which is fine.
But would he accept it if, like, the White House announced it? You know what I'm saying? Like, if there was a national press conference and people officially came out and said, yes, we've been tracing this stuff. No, we don't know what it is. Would he then be as skeptical, or would he be like, okay, well, if they're saying it, because this is not, like I said, this is not official. This is basically the reveal that three senators gave money to Bigelow.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is. And as you said, two of them are dead and one's retired. So.
Yeah. And it wasn't $22 million is a really, really, really drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's not a whole hell of a lot of money for the government to just squirrel away. And I think Reed did say it's like, well, it's what we call black. So they just threw some money at it under the guise of being prepared for any kind of aerial threat. Just happened to be unidentified aerial threats.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are other programs in the government doing the same work that we will never hear about.
No, of course, it's probably thousands of them and probably lots of them that are doing things that would probably blow our minds when we figure out what the ideas behind them are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, having to do with, you know, having to do with some of the shit you probably saw in the Star Wars movie that just got released last week.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, there's psychic phenomena stuff galore in there.
Oh, cool.
Really great stuff. I mean, the Tulpa stuff and things like that, which made me very happy.
Nice. Now I'm looking even more forward to it. I've heard very mixed reactions to the Star Wars movie. People seem to love it or hate it.
Really? Everybody I've talked to generally likes it. And the people that don't like it are nitpicky. It's like, I could nitpick all day at stuff, but I'm not. And I suppose I could nitpick at that, but it took me, you know, the battle scenes are kind of interminable, and it's like, okay, here's another 300, you know, ships all flying at the same time in fighters. And again, yeah. It's fun and it looks nice and all that. What I'm more interested in and why I like the movie Arrival is what is going on here? What is the deeper meaning? What is the deeper? And Star Wars is all the franchise from the beginning. It's always had that deeper meaning of basically the Joseph Campbell hero with a thousand faces thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes out very, very strongly in this new one, which makes me happy because the first one came out when I was a kid and it was like a religion to me when it first came out. I've still got like lobby card sets from the original three movies that I bought when I was like, you know, a little kid.
Nice.
So seeing these characters like Mark Hamill still and Carrie Fisher, even though she died, and you know, C-3PO is in all of them. He shows up a little bit here and there. But seeing these things, it's like, oh, here's my friends from when I was a little kid. So it affects me very deeply. I mean, I'm suppose it's designed to do that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it wasn't obviously manipulative in the way that some of the other films or most films are emotionally manipulative, like with a sledgehammer. It's emotionally manipulative in very subtle ways, at least to me, and I really enjoyed it.
Cool. I plan on seeing it soon. I'm just waiting for the crowds to die down a little. I did ask Red Pill what his thoughts on it, and he said, he said it was chump change in the black budget money. It seems most of it went to Bigelow. He was very interested in the metal alloys and other materials as well, but because he said that Valet's current focus is investigating UFO metal debris, and we know he's worked with Bigelow in the past, so he's wondering if there was a connection there with Valet being involved in the Pentagon program. But he said he doesn't think he's connected to the stars stuff. And I don't really know how much this, you know, do you think this release was connected to the stars? I mean, Red Pill points out there's zero mention of DeLong in that article.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was connected to it because the main person in it, Hector Elizondo, is that his name?
Yeah.
He was one of the main subjects of the article.
Right. Okay.
So
it was part of their
effort. I don't know how DeLong feels about not being mentioned in the article, not having To the Stars mentioned. I have no idea.
But at the same time, like, was this something that when the To the Stars thing came out, the New York Times said, well, let's look into this, and then we're able to uncover stuff? Or do you think To the Stars had a hand in handing it over to the New York Times?
Well, if they didn't, at least the people that are involved with them did. I think there's a very definite connection between that group and what happened with the New York Times. And I don't know how well they know Leslie Keene, but her byline is on that article.
Okay. And who's Leslie Keene?
She is the one that wrote, she had a big UFO government book, and then she just recently wrote one on life after death. She's basically kind of known as a UFO journalist.
Oh, okay.
She supported very heavily the Chilean UFO video thing until it was found out that it was airplane. So she backed off of that very quickly and then moved on. And now she's involved with, I don't know how well she's involved with helping DeLong, but she is very much interested in the subject.
Hmm. Well, I guess we will see in the coming weeks if this, you know, has any legs under it. If this is all we're going to get, you know, they made an acknowledgement, and that'll be it. Or yeah, if there's something else coming. But I mean, literally, they said we don't know anything.
Who said?
Reed at the end.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, whatever he found out or whatever they found out was, I'd agree with him. We really don't know what's going on. We really don't know what the source of this is. We just know there is some source, and we know that weird stuff does happen. We just want to kind of try and get to the bottom of it. I don't know how much to the bottom of it they got. Certainly, he's, you know, they gave money to and talked to Bigelow and all that. And the funny thing is, Bigelow comes right out and says, yeah, I believe there's aliens here and that they've interacted with us. And I really don't care what people think when I say that. Yeah. And then, of course, Reed, who's his buddy, comes out and says, we really don't know what it is.
The other interesting thing is, I mean, with Bigelow and the whole Skinwalker Ranch, if the stuff at the Skinwalker in the Skinwalker Ranch book is even remotely true, you would think, why is he connecting that to aliens? Because none of that seemed like alien intervention. That seemed like something much, much weirder.
Yeah, it's funny. I can't remember who said it, who told me this, but it was Jeff Ritzman. He said that he asked John Alexander, who was one of the staffers there at Skinwalker and was involved in the project. He said, what do you think it is? And he said, it's the trickster.
Huh.
He said I believe it's Jeff. I hope I'm not quoting him out of context or wrongly, but he said that Alexander told him the only thing that we could figure out is it's the trickster. It's a heavy trickster element. But you have to remember that people will bring to the subject and to their study of it their preconceptions and their ideas and their worldview.
True.
You talk to somebody else that was involved down there. I can't remember who, Colm Kelleher or something. Maybe he'd say something different. They give the example. I think Erica Luke's told me about this, or maybe Alexander. I can't remember. But that they had and Jeff, I think, as well, talked about. I think Jeff and I were on our show and we talked about this. They had a camera pointing at a field to try and catch like a cattle mutilation or something going on. Two or three cameras. And all the cameras, they came out one morning or one night, I can't remember, and all the cameras had been, all the wires, I think, had been taken off the pole, and the cameras were gone, and there was no sign of anybody being around or climbing up the pole, and they were all taped down with duct tape that had been out in the sun forever, so it was all sticky and gooey, and the tape was gone. It was just kind of cleanly, zip, just gone in one night with no trace. And the cameras did not pick up, the cameras could see each other, and the cameras picked up nothing. They didn't even pick up the other cameras disappearing.
Wow.
So, what the hell do you make of that? You say it's aliens, but it's far, far, far more subtle and complicated than that, I think.
And it's certainly a possibility, but it seems like a strange thing for aliens to do,
Yeah, I think that, it's... People conflate one idea with the other because it seems to make sense to them. And that's what I'm trying not to do right now is conflate ideas and make assumptions. And, it's why I've stopped saying, I've kind of tried to stop saying aliens and UFOs and all that. I try to get my mind not to think in that way and not to think in a different way, but to think in no way. You know what I mean?
Neutral.
Take in the information, but do not start creating narratives out of it.
What I like about this article is that it doesn't at any point state that, that's extraterrestrial or whatever. And like I said, it does end on the statement of we don't know what this is, and and if anyone says they have the answers now, they're fooling themselves.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting place for it to end, especially with DeLong being out there saying, I have the answers.
Yeah. And it's aliens.
Yeah.
So I've got this idea that these guys really wanted to continue whatever they were doing, who knows what it is, either within or without outside of the government. And to my mind, he threw them like a financial lifeline.
Yeah.
And kind of said, look, if you guys want to keep doing this, and they came out and recruited him. He totally 100% admits that he was approached. Who knows who else was approached, but. He became the one that was listening to them, would cooperate with them, not bring his own agenda into it, at least in a way that would change what they wanted to do. And like I said, threw them a little financial lifeline so they could kind of get this study and their interests funded because, it wasn't coming from or going to Bigelow anymore. So they've stepped over in this direction. I could be totally wrong, but that's kind of how it looks to me.
And looking through some of the comments on the article, I mean, there's like 1,500 comments on this article in the New York Times. It seems a lot of people are way more down to earth about this. I mean, some people dismissing it, some people being like, well, that money could have gone to help, to healthcare and stuff like this. But it's, like this guy says, this woman says the public deserves to know what their tax money is paying for,
I suppose, but most of their tax money is not going to UFO study.
No, well, that's true. But still, I mean, just in general, I think.
I think a half of a 0.0001 of a cent of my taxes has gone to UFO research, fine by me.
But it seems like the general feeling, the general reaction to this article is that people are not... They're not going, in the UFO disclosure community, people are freaking out, but it seems like the general public's kind of like, what is this crap?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like I said, I think people probably either forget about it quickly or already have. It's just kind of a like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, but people that are into it, yeah, they're pooping their pants.
I think for people to seriously take, you know, to take this really seriously, it would have to come like from the White House or something. It would have to be an official, you know, release, right. Not, oh, by the way, here's this New York Times article about these people who did this stuff a few years ago, you know. And yeah, they don't have anything to show us, I guess, is kind of it too, you know.
No, not really. The most important part of the thing to me was what's this artifact thing?
Yeah.
You know, that really kind of intrigues me. But why, what is this artifact thing? Why do they think they're artifacts? What is the provenance of these artifacts? What are they doing with them? What do they hope to find out with them?
And the other thing is they said they tested people who have come in contact with some of these things. And I'm thinking, okay, could you go into a little bit of that? Like, did they volunteer to be tested? Did you abduct them? Did you, you know, like, what is that? That's because that was also very vague.
Mm-hmm.
And we know plenty of people have reported military abductions where they've been taken by people, you know, even Strieber said, you know, he had people where he thought people were coming onto his property and he didn't think this was the visitors.
Yeah. Oh, no, plenty of people said that MyLapse thing has been around since the early to mid 90s.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that part of it? Or are they talking about something else entirely? Because it's such a vague little mention along with the metal alloys and other things.
Well, I think part of it might have been, one, you know, they just asked people to come in and maybe paid them. And two, might be part of that, John Carpenter thing where he sold a whole bunch of those abductee things to the to Bigelow that big scandal. That might be part of it, too. It doesn't involve people coming in and being questioned, but I think that became part of his database because they were trying to correlate that information into, you know, something useful for them, something that they could use. And I guess using that information and looking at it the way they did, Bigelow found out what he wanted to find out and confirmed what he wanted to confirm. What's more, you know, when you're spending millions of dollars, even if it's somebody else's money, to find an answer, you don't want somebody to find an answer that doesn't agree with what you wanted them to find. You know, I know how rich people operate. If they're not getting their return on their money, they stop spending money on it.
Because the exact quote in the article is researchers also studied people who said they had experienced physical effects, from encounters with the objects and examined them for psychological or physiological changes. It helps if I read the right words.
I guess NIDS did that. I mean, you know, and so has MUFON, and so did APRO back in the day, and so have, you know, GAIPAN in France. It's just a standard operating procedure to try and figure out by the physical effects, can we figure out what's going on? I think that they assume something really is going on that's anomalous, and I totally agree with them. But they're trying to find out if they can find anything about what caused them by looking at the effects.
Yeah.
Which is totally logical. I mean, like you said at the beginning of the show, this is not news to any of us or anybody listening to the show. It's just kind of a wait and see. And my wait and see is, how is this going to affect the UFO research community and pull it away from more broad-based research and where people are independent, which I think is the most important thing. Not everybody working on this. When everybody's directed to the same thing, I think that really hinders research in ufology because it is not all the same thing. I'm almost 100% convinced of that. That's why I made those t-shirts that say mimic the obliqueness of the subject.
Now your next show, I know you don't want to talk about who's on it. When is that going to be out?
Most likely Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
Okay. And that is somewhat related to this?
It is. Yes. There about 30% of the show is related to what we talked about here.
Okay.
With somebody that knows some of these people and has interacted with them. And, you know, we both had our speculations about what might be going on, which aren't too far off what we've been talking about here.
All right, so that'll be Radio Mysterioso later this week.
Yes, depending on a few factors, but mostly me listening to it and doing my editing and all that. And then for the next 2 days, I actually have to be stuck in one place for 8 hours a day with nothing to do except sit in front of my computer and edit. So it should be easy to get this thing out by Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
All right. Well, thank you for taking some time to talk to us about this, Greg.
Sure. I enjoyed it. I kind of thought I didn't want to talk about it, but as we started talking, of course, you know, my natural, wow, this is fun to talk about comes out. So you're welcome.
All right. Awesome. And a special thanks to our Patreons who are pledging at the $10 or above level. Roland Belstedt, John Eddy, Alfred Tuttle, Carla Mahoney, and Gabriel Zero. Thank you very much. All right, and to take you out, here's Lights Over Phoenix from Lee TNB, a.k.a. Monkey Mind, off his 9 EP. See you next time. Have been listening to Where Did the Road Go? This show is made possible in part from our Patreons, and we thank you and everyone listening for helping us continue this exploration of the strange. You can always find everything Where Did the Road Go related at www.wheredidtheroadgo.com. And thank you so much for your support.